Beautiful job, both songs. I especially like that part of all the people that I'm looking forward to seeing. And there are many of them. But the one that probably I look most forward to is the seeing the Lord Himself. Yeah. Best friend I've ever had. Best friend I'll ever have. I'm not real sure. I preach a lot of times that we'll all stand before Him. I'm not sure I will. I don't believe I'll be able to. I believe that in that great, powerful presence, that I'll never be able to get above my face to the ground and not even be worthy of that. But I do look forward to that, to look forward to seeing so many, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All the old patriarchs, I've never seen any of them, but I'm going to know every one of them. So many people that I've never met that I'm going to see, and I'll know them. I believe that with everything there is about me. I believe that's going to be part of heaven, that we will know as we are known, and that we're going to know everyone. That's far beyond probably anything I can comprehend. But I have no doubt in my mind that we'll recognize every one of them. But the most important one is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, whenever that we have that wonderful privilege to see Him as Thomas saw Him, to recognize Him. I want to, for a few minutes this morning, use some scripture out of the New Testament, the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. If I have a thought that I would want you to remember this morning, and I want to say this before I give you that thought. As you listen from time to time, I know that you don't always see the same things I see, or the predominant portion of the scripture may not be what I thought it was for the morning service, and that's okay. For years and years, I preached and never even gave what my thought might be. And so sometimes when I give you that and you go home or leave here, you're going to say, well, he didn't even hardly touch on that, so I don't know where he was going with it. What went you out to see? What'd you go out to see? Now, I kind of like to turn that around and say, what did you expect when you came here this morning? What did you expect? Every single one of you had some expectations when you came here, or you wouldn't be here. And every one of you probably have some different expectations. Some of you will leave here feeling like that your expectations were met. Some of you are probably going to leave here saying it didn't even come close to what I was expecting. And some of you will say it was 100% because I didn't expect anything when I came. So you may be the one that is more on target. No, seriously, I have every confidence that each one of you had some expectations. What I hope that you expected is that when you came here, that you could serve the Lord in your capacity, in your way, and that you did not feel inhibited by anyone or anything that we do in the service here. That you came expecting that you would feel the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, that you would be blessed, that you would be nourished, that you would be fed while you were here, that you would hear the word of the Lord. And it's my responsibility this morning to see that the word of the Lord is preached That's my job as a preacher. I believe that with everything there is about me, that that's what God calls a man to do, is to preach. He doesn't call him to be an entertainer. He doesn't call him to be a nursemaid. He doesn't call him to be a referee. He doesn't call him to solve all the problems of the world. He calls him to preach his word. I know a preacher of the word wrote to the young preacher and said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He also admonished the young preacher, and he said, "Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So as you come from time to time, whatever your expectations may be, I hope that you are blessed for being in the house of the Lord. I think that's important, that when you leave here, that you feel like that it was at least worth your time to have been here in His house. The scripture from the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew starts out and says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" As I've read that from time to time, I always have some thoughts about why would this great, powerful preacher by the name of John, who had been sent direct from God Himself for a very specific purpose, who had been privileged to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to have Him revealed unto him, not only to have Him revealed to him, but to hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." Who this same man was to say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," would turn around and say, Are you the one? That we should be looking for, or should we be looking for another?" Can you imagine going from that tremendously powerful experience that John had experienced as he went out there in the wilderness and was preaching, and preached a powerful message, a message that drew many people from different stations in life to come out there and to listen to him, whom God had blessed so tremendously, all of a sudden has a question in his mind as to whether this is the right man or not. Now, you know what? Many times we forget that all of these men in the Word of the Lord, all of our preachers today, are human beings. We are. And we are subjected to the same experiences and emotions that everyone else is. And there may be a little extra bit that we get put upon us in that we are many times privileged to share some of the things that you are going through, whether they're the ups or the downs. But don't ever forget that every single one of us are human too. And there are some down times in life. John, who had stood before the great governing body and spoken unto the ruling king at the time, and had said unto him, "You are not right in what you are doing," and it upset his wife to the point that she had him put in prison. And now he's in prison. He's in prison not because of what he did wrong, but what he did right. You see, many times our people today seem to think that the only time that anything bad's going to happen is when they do something wrong. You need to understand that in the work of the Lord, many times There are tough situations that you're going to be in. There are going to be times whenever that, for the cause of Christ, we are going to suffer. And when we do that, we should be thankful. We should say, thank you, Lord, that you count us worthy, and what a privilege it is to suffer for you. But most of the time, instead of complimenting the Lord, we complain to the Lord. We don't particularly like the experiences that we're having to go through. And there may be some times that we're even going to be like John was when he was here in prison and he began to think about what's going on here. I've had a death sentence pronounced upon me. I thought I was doing right. He knew he was doing right when he really seriously thought about it, but it didn't keep him from having some normal thoughts that most every one of us would have had had we been in that situation. God many times has revealed himself unto us in ways that are indisputable. We know that. But it does not prevent us having some times in our life to where we have some doubts and where we have some fears and where we have some concerns and where we wonder about, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? I want you to listen. And he said unto him, art thou he that shouldest come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear, and see the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I don't believe there's ever been a time in all the years that I've been preaching that people are more easily offended than they are today. About everything that you can humanly imaginable under the sun. And for many of them, it doesn't take very much. Now I'm back on. My sound man's working me back there. He didn't like what I said that last couple of verses. He just shut me off. Anyway, we just need to understand. Jesus sent me back to the message and said, you go back and you tell John what you saw. You go back and show him what he had already seen. He said, go and show John again. Yeah, you can't have again unless you've had it first. So John already knew some of these things. He said, you go back and you tell him again and show him again what you have experienced, what you have seen out here. There isn't anybody else who's going to be able to do those things unless it's the Christ. And so it goes back. Now, I haven't got to my thought yet, have I? What did you go out there to see? What did you go out there? What did you expect when you went out there? And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Did you think you were going to go out there and you people were going to be able to bluff him out? Old John is out there preaching, old generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits, meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham unto our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Old John is preaching away to those people. Some of them came out there and they said, they're all going out there and everybody's going out there and they're getting baptized. I want to be baptized too. John said, you got to have something for your worthy of baptism. That hasn't changed, folks. That hasn't changed today. We've got preachers who've quit preaching that anymore. They don't want to, first of all, talk about the blood. They don't want to talk about that it takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem the soul of the individual. They don't want to talk about what the Bible teaches concerning being a worthy candidate for baptism. The first old boy who came preaching baptism was a person who said, before you're worthy of baptism, you need to bring forth some fruits. You need to have something that you can demonstrate that you're worthy of baptism. Would you come out here to see? Would you go out there to see? A reed shaking in the wind, you think he's going to go out there and you were going to be able to intimidate that old boy? He's a different character than they'd ever seen before. Some of them went out there out of curiosity. They'd never seen a man who was dressed with a leathern girdle about his loins and his meat was locust and wild honey. This is a strange man preaching a strange doctrine that they've never heard before. Let me tell you something. Many people today are not hearing the gospel. They're hearing the gossip. They're hearing what they want to hear. My job is not to come here and entertain you. I am not an entertainer. I do not pretend to be an entertainer. And if you only come just to be entertained, you're in the wrong place. You need to go where that's what they'll do is tickle your ears and your fancy and give you whatever that you want. My job is to preach the gospel to you, and I believe the church here holds that same concept and says that's why we've got you here. If you aren't going to preach the gospel, we'll get rid of you. And they should. I believe that. I've got confidence in this church. And when I preach the gospel to you, it's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be pleasant. But hopefully it'll be edifying to you. But I'm going to tell you this morning that when you preach the gospel, there are some things in the gospel that many times we say, well, I don't believe that. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not, or whether I believe it or not. It's going to stand. God's word will stand in judgment. Promise you that. Guarantee you when you get up there along with seeing the Lord, you're going to see what thus saith the Lord is up there. Guarantee you that by His word. Because He says the books were open and they were judged according to the things that were written in the books. He's not going to judge me or you on something that we don't know anything about. I can tell you this morning that probably you can pick up one of the statutes of the state of Missouri down here, and if I'd quote you one particular chapter or part out of it, just to give you a number of it, and most of you wouldn't have a clue as to what it was. I wouldn't either. But I know that they're there. But I'll guarantee that every one of us had the opportunity to know what's in these books. And that's what is going to be the yardstick. It's not going to be what the Elkton Baptist Church believes or what the Elkton Baptist pastor believes. It's what thus saith the Lord. So you need to study the word of the Lord. You need to come here to be fed. You need to be nourished when you come here. And all of you are going to be at different levels. I understand that. But you know what? God is able to take care of that. That's not my job. My job is just to preach the word. He will nourish you. He will bring you along with His word and by the Spirit if we will allow Him to. What you go out there to see? A reed shaking in the wind. Did you think He's going to go out there and bluff him out? Not that old boy. He knew what He was here for. He came, He said, He came to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. Now that's important that you understand that. A lot of our people today still don't understand. What was John's purpose in coming? Why did God send him? He sent him to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. Yeah, get them ready when the Lord comes along. And then before He got through down there, the Lord did come along, but He'd already had some people prepared so that when Jesus came along and said, come follow me, He had some prepared material. Yeah. We just got to get this whole story put together. I lost that one again, Ronnie. I'm going to move back. Listen. A reed shaking with it. But what went you out there to see? Ask him again the second time. What'd you go out there to see? You go out there to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's courts. You go out there because you thought you're going to see someone all fancied up? Every once in a while, someone say to me, well, I'd like to come to your church, but I don't always have nice clothes. Well, neither do we. Ours are nice enough. And I usually say, well, whatever you've got, you know, you got clothes on. That'll be okay. God's looking not at the outward appearance, but the heart. Yeah. We all look at the outward appearance. I want you to look nice. I want to look nice. I don't always look that way. But I know that people look at us and they pass judgment on us. Let me tell you something. How thankful I am that I didn't have to be dressed at a certain level before the Lord would save my soul. I don't even remember right now. Well, at that time of the year, my old Levi's or blue jeans, we call them then, would have still been in pretty good shape. But I can tell you, and Pat's here this morning, that by the next spring, by about this time in the spring, I was having to run down to her mom's house to have the seat of my pants sewed up because they had worn so thin sometimes that they had popped out. And Aunt Pete would sew up my blue jeans, Levi's, so I could go on to school and my rear end not be showing. It wasn't a case of, hey, run down to the store and buy a new pair. Didn't have it. You made them do. But God didn't look to see whether my blue jeans had a hole in them in the knee or the rear end, either one. He didn't look to see whether or not I had on a shirt that had an emblem on it. I don't think back then they even had such a thing. Maybe one that said Wheeling Mules on it, but we didn't have anything, as that was a specialty. We didn't know what designer clothes were. Most of them were designed by Sears and Roebuck or J.C. Panay. I always tell people that's my French tailor, J.C. Panay. I still wear a lot of those. But listen, God looks on our heart. He's not looking. And how thankful I am that He doesn't say, well, you have to be dressed to a certain level. God didn't choose the elite. God chose the common. God, whenever He sent His Son, sent Him, He had, you know, His wardrobe was pretty simple. Those people said, well, this is the son of a carpenter. Look at him. He's a carpenter's son. And he's supposed to be the king, the Messiah? Yeah. But what went you out to see? Or to see? Third time. You know, sometimes God just keeps, He just keeps on until He gets it pounded into our head. I worry every once in a while about, have I preached on that scripture before? Oh, most of them I've preached on by now. More than once, Ronnie. And some of them I've never preached on. I've got one sermon that I've had for 40 years that I'm going to preach one of these days. I don't know when, but I know exactly what the scripture is. And it may be the last one I ever preach. That may be what God's holding it for. I don't know. So if you ever hear me get up and say, this is the one, you might be wanting to listen real close. It might be the last one I'd ever preach. And you could always say, I heard that old boy preach his very last sermon. You might be disappointed. You might come expecting too much. Don't come back next Sunday expecting to hear it because I'm not ready to go yet. Third time, what went you out for to see? A prophet? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now think about that. Yeah. Jesus, what did you do? Did you go out there to see a prophet? You got more than a prophet. More than a prophet. But it is he that was prophesied by old Isaiah. Back over in the 40th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of Isaiah, the old prophet prophesied of this one who would come to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. John's down here in prison. He's down as low probably as he's ever been in his life. He's concerned whether or not that one whom he had been telling so many people about was the one that he should have been looking for, because all the visible evidence that he could see at this point in time did not substantiate what he had been preaching. And yet God had revealed to him in a miraculous way, in a way that very few people ever had the opportunity to have the Lord reveal unto him. You may remember the other old boy that I always think of quite often, and I talk quite often, my favorite of the apostles, the Apostle Peter. When the Lord spoke unto him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Because Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Oh my, listen, I'm going to tell you this morning that we need to have that revelation of Jesus Christ through the Father, through the Spirit today. And then we need not be ashamed that we are His children. We need not worry whether or not He'll be there, because He teaches in His Word that He will be for each and every one of His children. You can worry a little bit if you, I guess you want to worry about something, about what maybe you're going to be subjected to as one of His children. And so don't be disappointed and don't be disillusioned and don't be discouraged if the Lord once in a while kind of gives you a little more than you think you can handle. And it's not always going to be going out here knocking on someone's door and say, "I'm here to tell you about the Lord." Now, some of us just going to be living a life so that people, when they look at you, can see that old boy, that old gal's got enough in their life, they're going to make it through it because they've got the Lord. And sometimes we don't act like we do.